Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And welcome back once again. So good to be with you as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, and open innovation. Exciting show today. Boeing pioneering a battery-operated jetliner. Yep, we're going to get right to that in just a minute. We're going to visit the Den of Strangers, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set, and of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, though, we're going to step into our very busy newsroom, get a couple of updates. I see here Chris McMaines, the IEEE U.S. in Washington, D.C., is reporting that Morris Chang, founding chairman and CEO of Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, has been named the 2011 IEEE Medal of Honor recipient. Chang helped shape the semiconductor industry and technology policy in Taiwan. And Dashuan Feng reports in that the United States no longer owns the world's fastest supercomputer, unveiled in a conference in Beijing, China. Can run calculations faster than the previous speed leader, a computer at the United States lab in Tennessee. Okay, now to today's exciting program. As you've been listening on this program from time to time, we've talked about all the discussion going on in the science community about Boeing developing a subsonic jetliner that runs on batteries. And so we had to do some investigation and found out it's not in development, but there is a whole lot of things going on with Boeing. And we ran into Daryl Stevenson. He's Boeing Research and Technology Communications, and he says oh, there's a lot to this, but he said it's not in development. He says we're just kind of really looking at things. So, you know, we go to the skunk works, I guess, is what a lot of the companies call it. Anyway, Daryl introduced us to Dr. Marty Bradley. Now, Marty Bradley is with the Boeing Research and Technology Principal Investigator of the Subsonic Ultra Green Aircraft Research, SUGAR for short. And Marty, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And I understand of all the talk that that Boeing is developing an airplane that runs on batteries. It's not really true. You're doing some research with NASA. Is that what this is all about?
Right. We actually completed an 18-month-long study contract with NASA to look at advanced concepts and technologies for essentially airliners, three generations from the airliners that we have today. Mm-hmm. So that's out in the 2030 to 2035 time frame. And we looked at different concepts and a lot of different technologies that might be ready in that time frame. And the main goal of the study, though, was to determine and to help NASA determine what technologies they should work on so that we can be ready for advanced commercial airliner in that time frame.
Okay, so this is an N3, and right now, if we're talking about the new introduction of the Dreamliner, the 787, I think Daryl told me that is really current. So an N1 or N2 or N3 would even be past that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. In our study, we sort of considered the 787 to be an N plus about a 1/2. So our reference point is actually today's next generation 737. So we did all of our comparisons to a 737.
All right. Now, an airplane running on battery, I mean, apparently you and NASA believe that it's feasible because you're investigating it. Where are you with this research, and how is this going to work?
We're really at the point where we're doing paper studies using analysis and spreadsheets and doing performance. We're estimating technologies where they'll be in that time frame. And what we've been able to do is to come up with an approach that looks really, really good out in that time frame, and it's a hybrid approach where we take the best features of conventional gas turbine engines that are burning jet fuel, and combining them with electric technologies and battery technologies. And so it is a hybrid. It's a little bit different, but it's pretty similar to the kinds of approaches being used in hybrid electric cars today.
All right. So let me get this straight then. Now, will the airplane, it seems to be feasible then. It looks like something that is it could work by maybe the year 2035 is what you're saying. And we're to understand that it will take off with conventional jet fuel and then once airborne run on batteries. Do I have that correct?
Well, what we have is a flexible system that allows us to manage the energy used between burning conventional jet fuel and using battery electric power. So typically, we envision this, we would take off using both the electric power and the conventional gas turbine burning jet fuel to give us the thrust we need for takeoff and climb. But then when we get to the cruise leg of the mission, we could switch almost completely to the electric battery power.
Well, this is kind of beyond me, and I try to get into it a little bit with Daryl, and he says, wait a minute, you need to be talking to Marty. But does it turn into a, I know it's subsonic, but does it turn into a prop plane then, or does it still operate like a jet?
Well, the conventional commercial aircraft that you see and the high bypass ratio turbofan engines that you see are, in some ways, you could think of those as a series of shrouded propellers. So we're still using the fan to propel the airplane. We're just driving that same fan shaft with a combination of the conventional engine or adding the electric motor power to that fan.
The reason for my long pause here, Marty, is you really are losing me. As I understand with conventional jet airplanes right at the moment, and I'm not, I know very little about aviation, is that you're actually thrusting fuel into some sort of a combustion chamber and burning this stuff, and when you do, you're getting the old Newton action-reaction way of things, and that thrusts the jet then forward. But when you're using it, what is the battery then going to replace that you're not currently using?
Well, the way the current engines work are a little bit different than what you just described. When you burn the fuel in the combustor, what you're ended up doing is driving a turbine that is connected to a large fan. Okay, so the fan is what is generating most of the thrust. So we're just, instead of using the jet fuel to burn in the combustor, we're reducing that, and we're adding the energy from an electric motor into that same fan.
So jet airplanes really don't run on the thrust of fuel spitting out the back of it, but it runs from a prop within these jet engines that is actually driving the jet airplane, is that right?
Yeah, that's a better way of describing it, yes.
Well, okay. Well, probably everybody in the audience knows that, and they all know that I ask the stupid questions. I'm the stupidest person on this program. I mean, the listeners and the guests are a whole lot smarter than me. But that really surprises me, because I thought that the jet airplanes did away with fans, basically speaking, and that it was all like rocket science almost.
Well, there's been an evolution in engine technology for commercial aircraft. And so it's evolved from engines that had small fans to engines that have very large fans today. So if you look into the front of any of the engines on the commercial airplanes, you can see the very large fan blades at the front. Mm-hmm. And that's what's providing nearly all of the thrust for the engine.
So we're still flying prop airplanes. I mean, that's really that's really surprising. And this is subsonic, but I guess it will go just as fast as any of our jets we have today. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It fits within the existing air traffic control system, and our concept actually slows down a little bit. We designed our concept around going 7/10 Mach number, 7/10. Times the speed of sound. Typically, airplanes go a little bit faster than that today, 0.75, 0.78, 0.8 times the speed of sound. And really, that depends on the price of fuel. And if the price of fuel goes up in the future, like many expect, it might make sense to slow down to burn a little bit less fuel. So that's another one of the factors that was included in the study that we did.
Yeah, but isn't the trend to go faster and faster and faster and keep the world getting smaller and smaller and smaller? How are you going to address that? With everybody says, gee, we need to go. In fact, is there are those lamenting the demise of the supersonic airliner that we're not doing any longer? You don't see that as a problem then?
Well, I think you have to, there's always a balance between speed and getting there faster, and in this case, you're just working against physics. The faster you go, typically the more energy you're going to have to use to go that fast. So in a world where people are concerned about, economy, about cost, they're concerned about the environment, it makes a lot of sense to go the speeds that we go, subsonic speeds, less than the speed of sound, or, even going a little bit slower than we do today.
Will this technology be used with space travel, with rocket launching? I know the props won't work any good in space, but to get us there, is this going to be, by the year 2035, something that's going to be used for commercial space travel?
I don't think it has any direct application to that. It's possible that improved jet engines could be used in the first stage of some kind of space launch vehicle that people might be looking at, but that's, it's not especially good at that. And so I don't see much application there.
All right, now all this research is being done on engines. And really, Boeing you don't make your own engines, do you? You make the aircraft, but don't you use engines that are made by Rolls-Royce and Pratt & Whitney and General Electric and those sorts of things? Why isn't this being developed by one of those firms instead of Boeing?
Well, that's a good question. We do deal with all those engine companies. And on our particular study, we had General Electric as a partner. So they were doing the detailed work for us. We looked at a whole range of technologies, for the study, including, improved airframes and materials, reduced aerodynamic drag, improved air traffic control. So we looked at a wide variety of things. And, we reported to NASA other areas where they should be spending some of their research money and where we're spending some of ours. It's just that this hybrid electric concept to do the propulsion was one of the more interesting results. So, we've been talking a fair amount about that more than some of the other technologies, but they're all in there. And going forward, we'll be looking, working with the engine companies in more detail on this concept.
Well, of course, the other thing I have to ask you, batteries are very, very heavy, and we keep trying to make airplanes that are lighter and being more efficient that way, getting it into the air, but batteries weigh a ton, and the battery advances in better batteries has been just painfully slow. Are your studies suggesting there's going to be a breakthrough in batteries, or are you going to try to get along with the abysmal battery development that we've seen so far?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The way we did our study was we turned the problem inside out and we said, what level of battery technology do we need to make a competitive airliner? And so we worked it backwards and we determined a level that we needed for the batteries. And then we started looking at projections of where battery technology could be out in that time frame.
Okay.
And so, we established an area where we need, where we need to get to in terms of battery technology, and not to throw too many numbers out here, but it's a level of about 750 watt hours per kilogram is where we need to be to have a system that really looks good compared to conventional fuel. Where are we today? Some of the advanced batteries are more like 180 or 200 watt hours per kilogram.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be, we need an improvement of a factor of 4 over the next, say, 20, 25 years. But, a lot of the cars today, the hybrid electric cars, are more like 50 watt-hours per kilogram. So maybe we need a factor of 15 improvement over where we are today. And, we started looking at trends in battery technology. And what we need between now and then is about a 7 to 8% yearly improvement in battery technology. And so then we started looking at battery technology, different ways of doing the batteries, and there are some ideas that could achieve that. There are advanced lithium-ion batteries. There are other batteries called zinc air or lithium air batteries, where they actually bring some air on board and run it through the battery pack. And then there are really advanced or really high-performance energy storage devices called supercapacitors. And all those have the potential, but it's not been proven, to achieve the levels that we need to make this a viable concept.
Okay, so moving forward then, confident that you're going to be able to see electricity storage improve, and I didn't use the word battery there because you'd mentioned these other ways of storing electricity, improve 7% or so per year between now and the time that we'd like to see this aircraft in operation. But batteries have never, ever improved at that rate in the whole history of battery development, have they?
Well, looking back over the last 10 years, we looked at it and they have. It isn't just the same battery, the same battery technology that you make better, because that the advancement in that is much less. You have to apply a new technology, a new chemistry, or a new architecture of the way the battery is set up, bringing air on board and doing these, lithium air batteries, some of these other things. That's really what's going to determine when an aircraft like we looked at in the study is going to be practical. It will be how fast the battery technologies can develop. And, we've talked to battery people, and we get differing answers. Some of the answers are it's easily achievable in that time frame. Other people are saying that's really nearly impossible to get there. Mm. And so what we're having to do and what NASA, we recommend to NASA they do is we keep tracking the advancements in battery research going on all around the world. Luckily, we've got a whole world full of people that are interested in advanced batteries for a whole lot of applications other than ours. So what we're looking to do is engage with the battery research community with our specific aviation requirements and track and try to bring them along and advance them to the levels that we can use for this airplane. And we're very encouraged by things that we're seeing in, say, general aviation. The small aircraft folks are they're very at Oshkosh event. They were demonstrating that they were starting to actually put electric technologies and batteries into their small aircraft.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's already beginning, and we're going to track the trends in the battery technology.
Well, the other question, and you might not be able to address this, but it comes up all the time on this program, that we're going to go to a battery society and getting away from burning all these fossil fuels because they're so polluting. But isn't the waste from the batteries worse? How do we contend with that?
Well, careful recycling is definitely needed, but what you're trading off is, an entire lifetime of burning fossil fuels in aircraft as opposed to, having to recycle batteries at the end. And if you do the life cycle studies of that from, all the way from the beginning to the disposal, things like CO2 and energy used and different kinds of emissions are all a lot lower if you go with the cleaner battery technology. In our study, that was another big benefit to using this hybrid electric approach is you could reduce the emissions around the airport immensely because you're now getting a lot of your thrust from the electric power, which is not emitting CO2 at the time, and you're not getting nearly the emissions out of the engine. And we also found the electric motors can run more quietly than the gas turbines burning the fuel. So that's another advantage of going to this kind of concept. So I think you have to look at the whole picture. You have to look at the emissions from the power plant that is used to charge the batteries. You've got to look at the whole life cycle. And so we're continuing to do that. But from what we're seeing, it looks quite favorable compared to burning all that jet fuel.
Well, you touched on something that was my next question, really. These new engines, then, that are running on batteries will be considerably quieter than what we currently have. My studio here is located in the in one of the flight zones for a DFW airport in Dallas, and most of the time the jets don't fly over, but sometimes when the wind is just right, I'll get one aircraft after another flying over, and they're loud. And so how is this going to mitigate that noise by having battery operated aircraft engines?
Well, there have been a lot of advances in making aircraft quieter, and I think there's a lot of advantages around airports now because aircraft are generally more quiet. Mm-hmm. But what we're able to do with this is essentially we're able to reduce the amount of thrust coming out of the conventional part of the engine, right? So the part that has a combustor and burning jet fuel. And that's one of the fairly noisy parts to it. So we're able to eliminate or reduce that, so maybe the engine's running at idle instead of at full power, and then putting in the rest of the power from the battery hybrid electric system. So then we eliminate or reduce that one source of noise. There's still other sources of noise, but we're estimating that we will get additional reductions in noise compared to a conventional airplane.
I have to ask you a little bit more about the engines themselves. Right at the moment, we've been talking about jetliners, but Boeing does other things too, some military applications. Will this be useful in any of our military aircraft?
I think it will. Anything that improves the performance of the gas turbine engines that we use, all of our military and commercial aircraft, it will be able to do that. So future military transport aircraft could benefit from this. So that's the most obvious application. The more it looks like a commercial aircraft, probably the better. Some of the more advanced fighter planes, they really still need the high energy density that you get from jet fuel.
Yeah,
so this might have only
sense.
A small benefit to, say, future fighter aircraft. The other area, though, where it might be of good interest or a good payoff would be in some of the UAVs, the unmanned aerial vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
Long-duration vehicles that fly high in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
For, for what, surveillance missions and things like that. It might have a nice role in those kinds of aircraft as well.
Well, I was under the impression that maybe that aircraft already was using battery power. What's propelling the UAVs?
Most UAVs are the larger ones, the ones that are, on the order of the size of a conventional aircraft. I mean, most of those are powered by jet fuel, traditional gas turbine kind of arrangement. The smaller ones, the handheld ones, you see the troops launching and, for local surveillance, a lot of those are battery powered now.
Okay. All right. Fascinating stuff.
I said we completed this study for NASA. That was the phase one of the study. We are discussing with NASA starting on a phase two of the study, where we would do additional work on coming up with details of and technology development for the hybrid electric propulsion. So we'll be doing some more work with that for NASA.
Well, Marty, I wanted to ask you about maybe the skin. Is there any opportunity of having it to be a solar collector that will help sustain the batteries?
So far, when we've looked at that, it hasn't paid off. So, we do a system-level trade study where we try to look at the extra weight and the savings in electricity. You get essentially free electricity, right, to charge the batteries. So far, that hasn't paid off. So we don't have that in our baseline system. We may look at that a little bit again. The other thing that we have looked at and it doesn't seem to pay off yet is, recharging the batteries during descent when you don't need as much thrust. They essentially take energy out of the fan as it's spinning and partially recharge the batteries. So far, that hasn't paid off either, but that's something that we're looking at. See, that would be more like the function of the hybrid car, where when you hit the brake, it actually is taking the energy for the braking and putting some of it in to recharge the battery pack.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So currently we're not doing that. We're plugging in and charging the batteries, and we're not recharging them in flight. But that's something that we'll be looking at in the future to see if that helps us out a little bit, if it's worth doing or not.
Well, Dr. Marty Bradley, exciting things Boeing research is up to, and looking at our next generations of aircraft. Of course, we've been talking today about the N3, way out, but there's also, as Daryl reminds us, there's the N1 and the N2, and so there's going to be constant developments in aircraft led by Boeing, and we're really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to be with us today and explain some of these things for us. And thank you so much.
Oh, it's great. It's a great place to be working and a great area of research to be doing. If you're an aerospace engineering nerd like I am, it's really very interesting.
Okay. As we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all the wisdom of mankind. Whom in the den of strangers will we meet today?
Henry Mitchell. I'm inspired by George Marshall. Things cannot go wrong always, and there's something inborn that gives hope to men.